A good realtor will spend 3 hours a day calling.
This is not your typical boring real estate show. This is Real Estate Marketing Redefined, uncensored, and unedited in what's working today in the market, minus the fluff. This is Real Estate Marketing Dude, because just having a license isn't enough. Now please welcome your host, the unprofessional professional, Mike Cuevas.
Welcome to another episode of the Real Estate Marketing Dude podcast. I just had a little bit of a hiccup, but guess what? I'm human and technical difficulties do occur. So what we're talking about today, folks, is referral generation, and who we brought on is a national speaker, a referral expert. And what we're going to talk about is bringing common sense back to the referral game, to the referral market. And this isn't necessarily a real estate thing, I would say. I like to say it's a common sense thing, but we're going to go ahead and ask our guests all kinds of these questions today. And it's going to be a very good show. So without further ado, I want to go ahead and introduce her. Her name is Stacy Brown Randall. And without further ado, Stacy, please give our listeners to our podcast a little bit of who you are and how you roll. And then let's get on with this interview.
Sure. Thanks, Mike, for having me. I'm glad to be here. My name is Stacy Brown Randall. I have a new book coming out called Generating Business Referrals Without Asking, and I teach small business owners and solopreneurs how to grow their business with greater ease, and that's by generating referrals that you do not, underline not, ask for. I've been doing this for a number of years, and it is just a better way to grow your business. And so I get to work with people all across the country, all across the world, on helping them with my five-step process. I'm also a wife and a mother to three.
Thank you. I like what you just said. You just said how not to ask for them. So wait, you're telling me that if I'm a real estate agent and I want to go listen to one of the gurus, and I should go call my entire database of people and say, hey, how are you? I haven't talked to you in about 8 fucking years, but do you have any business for me? Is that a bad idea?
So yeah, I'm going to say if you're doing that, you're doing it wrong.
thanks. Sorry, Stacy. Sometimes we swear on this show. So if you feel like dropping an F-bomb, please go right ahead and help yourself.
Okay. I don't know if I'll be able to bring that out of me, the Southern politeness. I usually do all of my cussing, you know, off air. So we'll see.
Fair enough. So let's start a little bit on your background before we got on the show. And just so you folks know, like Stacy and I met a couple weeks ago, but briefly, like 5 minute conversation. And this is the first time I've actually seen her face to face, right? So what we're going to be talking about is when we do these interviews, we're just laying this up. I have no practice whatsoever. But just before we started this, Stacy told me that she used to be in the real estate business back in 2006. And what I want to learn is based on when you were in the real estate business in 2006, I don't know how long you were in there prior, but tell me sort of how you stumbled across this referral game. Why were you so interested in generating referrals as opposed to going out and chasing a bunch of cold leads and throwing a bunch of shit at the wall and waiting for something to stick?
So, you know, it's interesting. I never paid attention to how I grew my real estate practice when I was a realtor. I got my license in 2006 and I held that license until probably 2010, though I would say by 2009, I wasn't as active. I did generate a lot of my business by, you know, just people knowing me and my network, but also by referrals as well. But I wasn't paying attention to it because I did it part-time. I mean, in full disclosure, I had a full-time job. I got my real estate license because it was interesting to me and I wanted to see what it was all about and see if that may be another career choice for me. So I got my license. I did it part-time. And in 2006, 2007, it was easy. I mean, it was just easier, I think, to build your business. And then, of course, 2008 happened. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you stopped doing real estate on the side because of the recession. And actually, the reason why I stopped doing real estate on the side was because I had a baby in 2008. And it was sometime in early 2009. And I was out to show houses. And my babysitter canceled on me. So I showed houses with my son strapped to my chest and a baby Bajorn. And I was like, yeah, I'm out. Like, this is not fun. This is a very stressful day. So trying to keep him calm and be a professional, I was like, this is not working for me. So that's really why I kind of stopped. But obviously, when I look back now and I reflect on it, I'm like, oh, I did generate referrals. And I never really asked for them because that's not who I am. But I didn't really pay attention to the referral part of my business until years later. I would start another business. It was a consulting firm, an HR consulting firm. And I realized I didn't generate any referrals in that business. And then that business, after a couple of years, would fail. And then I would have to pick myself back up. I had to get a job. And while I was in my job, I got certified as a productivity and business coach. started another business and did that. And that's when I realized I've got to figure out this referral piece because I can't have another business failure. And so that's when I really started paying attention to the advice that's out there about how do we get referrals? Because they're, you know, I call them the golden child of all business development, right? Every family's got a golden child. In our family, it's my brother. I'm just the favorite. But, you know, everybody's got a golden, when you think about it, everybody should have a list of golden children in their business, which are their referral sources. So when I came up with that business failure, I was like, I've got to figure out referrals. They make life so much easier when you're trying to grow your business. And I want a piece of that. Yep. And then as you said earlier, all the advice out there is, well, you got to go ask. And asking for a referral feels like a cousin to a cold call. And I'm not going to cold call. And I don't want to ask for referrals. So I did it for myself. I really was like, you know what? Let's see if I can figure out how to generate referrals without asking, so that I can have success in my second business. I mean, my business was the guinea pig. It just then, because I was coaching small business owners, they were asking me, how are you growing your business so fast? I started talking about referrals, started talking about my process. That's when I realized, oh, it's 5 steps and anyone can do it. I just have to teach them the pieces of the steps. And then they started having success. And then I really shifted my model to just focus on teaching this training.
It's pretty funny. It's like, because I had a similar experience. I didn't realize how is generating referrals. And I wonder if we had the same sort of experience. We should get into that a little bit. But yeah, it's just sort of like some people do it innately. Some people, it comes to them naturally, but other people, you know, especially in the real estate space, way overthink it. Like, I can't tell you how many of our listeners right now, probably when they get a lead, I mean, it's like a deer in headlights, like, holy shit, someone might buy a house. And then all of a sudden they turn into this person that they're not. And referrals, you guys, is at least in my experience, has been always about just being raw, being authentic, being real, and keeping a top of mind brand awareness, keeping relevant in front of the people that matter most. But let's start with the basics. Let's start with the psychology of referrals. All right. Why does anyone refer anyone anything?
So here's the interesting thing about referrals, Mike. A referral to you has nothing to do with you. It just doesn't. At the end of the day, yes, you are gaining a new client and that is amazing and that is a bonus and we're happy for you. But somebody refers someone because someone they know has a problem or a pain point or an issue that they need to have solved. And you just happen to be the solution provider that your contact recommends. So the truth is, when you think about the psychology and the human dynamic behind why a referral actually happens, it's happening because somebody is helping somebody else find a solution to their pain or problem. You just happen to be that solution. So when people focus on asking for referrals, they immediately flip the psychology behind a referral to the, it's about me because I'm asking you now to go do work for me and find people who may need to buy a home, right? Or may need to sell a home. You're now doing work for me. And the flipping of the helping doesn't work the same way. It only works when I know somebody who has a problem and you happen to be the one who can solve it. But it starts with me knowing that person who has a problem. It doesn't start with me saying, hey, Mike, why don't you go look through your entire database and tell me everybody who needs to grow their business by referrals and needs my training. It doesn't work that way. And here's why. When you think about why a referral is so powerful, whether people, they show up and they are ready to go because their need has already been identified. They already value you. So they're less price sensitive to whatever it looks like in terms of how you structure your deals. And at the end of the day, because their needs have been identified and they already have value in you, so that makes them less price sensitive, they trust you. So they're almost ready and willing to say yes. And all that happens because they had a conversation with someone or they reached out to someone and said, here's my problem. How would you solve it? And the minute their contact said, here's, you go to Mike and here's how you solve it. Every question that they had answered in that moment of who do I talk to has been answered. And they still got to meet with you and decide they like you and that they actually want to work with you, but they already trust you, they already value you, and they already know they have a problem. And so they're already looking for a solution. That is what makes a referral so easy to close.
Folks, it's a third-party endorsement holds a lot more weight than most people put on it. And I want to give you guys a couple examples of sort of as exercises right now. The first one is like, we're on Facebook Live right now. I dare any of you to go ask someone for a fucking electrician and you're going to get 50 electrician phone numbers within the next 3 to 4 hours. The question is why do all of your friends, while they're sitting at their workstation, typing up their TPS reports, why are they have their electrician's cell phone number on standby and they're going to go in there and refer them and share that information with them publicly while they're not supposed to be on Facebook, but they secretly are at work, right? And it's because people like solving problems. It's very simple. people naturally are innate problem solvers. It's just the way that our DNA is wired on the inside, right, Stacey? Sort of like we're just meant to help someone. And if you're not out there and you're not wired to go out and help someone, first off, you're a dick. Second off, you're just not it's just not normal. It's not human, right? So make it easy to be referred, because the truth is that, folks, someone's going to refer someone a realtor. It might as well be you. Last year, 51% of buyers found their agents from source of referral. Stacey's exactly right. Like, people are referred over. It's no differently. And let me ask you, do another question. I want you guys to think about the last vacation you booked. And before you even went to the website, I guarantee you looked at those fucking reviews. And what you saw on those reviews were like, if it sounded good, great. If it didn't, then you'd go to the website. If the reviews are horrible, boom, next. Do you agree with that, Stacey?
Yeah, and I think both of those are really important points to kind of keep in mind when it comes to referrals. You know, it's the Nielsen research has come out year over year over year, and the number hasn't really shifted somewhere. It's always somewhere in the 80% of people would prefer to make a purchasing decision based on a recommendation from someone they trust. Yep. And I do find, and here's the interesting thing though, like, you know, I was just speaking at a conference this morning, so it's so funny you asked that question, because I kind of got asked that question about, have you noticed how more people will go on social media and ask for a recommendation? And I said, yes, that certainly happens. Like, we're going to check out Yelp before we decide to go to a restaurant and those kind of things. But you'll also see it when someone asks a question because they need an electrician, or what's the realtor you actually recommend. What I find fascinating though about those things is if you kind of follow up to figure out who they ended up hiring, it's still the person that they know in that Facebook group that makes a recommendation, and don't know anybody unless they're brand new to a city, right? It's still the person they know, and it's the realtor or the electrician they recommended, not the other 50 people who happen to be in this mom's group with them on Facebook, right, that they don't really know. And so I always find that really interesting in terms of, it still comes down to who do you know and who do you trust, because you know the ultimate reason? I don't want to make a mistake. Yep. Right. I want to get the best person to make this problem be solved for me, to sell my house, to help me buy a house, whatever it is, to fix my electricity. I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to spend money I don't have and then have to redo it afterwards because I hired the wrong person. And that's why we want someone that we trust. And to your point about help, I actually read this somewhere once. I truly believe it's the truth. Help is like the most powerful four-letter word in the English language. People want to help.
Yep.
Well, and so that's why they're willing to help somebody. Now, here's the thing. The help doesn't work the other way around, though. Like, you asking for help with referrals, it doesn't work that way. It only works when you have a true problem or an issue that someone can solve.
I don't believe that real estate agents are salespeople anymore. I say this all the time. You're like, well, Cuevas, you're crazy. Real estate people are salespeople. I'm like, no, real estate agents are problem solvers for people that have house issues. And, you know, that's really why people are calling us, because honestly, you don't need a realtor to buy or sell anymore. I mean, look at the flat fee services. There's these iBuyer homes. Honestly, the only thing that we have left is customer service. And yes, people will pay more for something they feel they have value for. And that's something that I think that you guys are going to see as this paradigm shift keeps on happening. I mean, John DeJulius wrote a really good book called The Customer Service Revolution. And it's exactly verbatim what's happening in the real estate industry right now. And I think that even referrals are going to, I mean, they're the lifeblood of an agent's business. Now, a lot of times when we talk about referrals, I think that one of the most important things for any business, and I'm talking real estate space specifically, Stacey, but I'd like to get your opinion on it. Mm-hmm. But we talk about this a lot in a lot of the stuff that we do, is first identifying who your audience is. Who are you going to generate referrals from, right? So if we can, let's stick this to the real estate space, because I will have to get your opinion on, you know, because people, folks, you don't generate referrals from strangers. Like, have you ever, Stacey, have you ever told one of your friends about, hey, go visit that restaurant that you've never actually went to yourself?
Nope.
Because then you'd be a dick, right? It'd be like April Fool's Day. Like, what are you doing? You can't send her there. So like, tell me, I'd love to get your opinion on that.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I really think this is like a foundational piece for people figuring out how to generate more referrals in their business. It's actually step one of my process. And inside my program, it's module one. And it's identifying the who. I call it IDing the who. Like, who are your referral sources? Who is that list of gold that you need to know within your business? And it's interesting because I always tell folks, you know, you generate referrals from two places, from your clients, current or past, and then your centers of influence. And your centers of influence, sometimes called spheres of influence, right? I mean, they have different terms, but your centers of influence is really a subset of your network So it's not the thousands of people you know or that know you. It's a subset of your network that really understand what you do. They don't do what you do, so there's no competitive overlap. And they actually come in contact with your ideal client on some regular basis. Maybe not every day, every week, but you know, a couple times a year at least. And so those, along with your clients, right, can be turned into really solid referral sources. But still, even within your group of clients and your group of centers of influence, not 100% of them are going to refer. Right. I always tell folks, stop stressing out about trying to turn everybody into a referral source and look for the 30% built to do it. We can grow and build that number from there, but we need a baseline, right, from kind of from where to start. And so the easiest way to figure out who are your referral sources is figure out who's referred you in the past. So if you've been a realtor for more than 2 or 3 years, more than likely you have received some referrals. And the longer you've been in the industry, the more referral opportunities you've probably had. That doesn't mean you're getting them. It just means you have more opportunities. So pull out a list of your clients. Pull out a list of the prospects and people who didn't become clients. Figure out which of those came from referral sources, came from humans. And that's your list of gold of those referral sources. And then you know who is a better referral source, right? Who's the one who sends you 2 or 3 home buyers every year versus the person who sends you 1. And then you can kind of understand what that list looks like. But it is the foundational piece. I mean, other than the fact that you do great work and you're worthy of your referrals, it's kind of that next foundational piece to really building out a referral plan within your business that'll actually produce any level of results is, well, who are we building this plan for? Who are our referral sources? And if you don't have any, right, it's you kind of almost follow the same process of identifying clients that could be referral sources and centers of influence who could be referral sources and starting to build relationships with them to walk them through the process, but they don't know it, right? But you turning them into referral sources as well. But knowing the who is critical to knowing, like, if we're going to do anything to generate referrals, who are we doing it for? Yep. It's that list of referral sources.
I like this format. Folks, I'm going to tell you who the who is. It's anyone that you know. They all live somewhere. It's not a matter of when they're going to move or if they're going to move. It's a matter of when they're going to move. Do the market research on your own stats, but nationally, it's about 6 to 9 years is the average time that somebody moves. So, you know, do the math. I think that referrals is a number game when you look at the amount of time someone actually stays in a property, then has to move on or move up or slim down or whatever. But it truly is a mathematical game. Stacey, everyone's going to ask me, what's step two?
Right. So step two is, you know, here's the thing. Once we have this list of who our referral sources are, the next step actually is it's a process that has to permeate throughout your entire practice. And that is your ability to think properly immediately for a referral received. And I think a lot of people kind of miss this piece, right? It's like, yes, I need to thank for the referrals received. So I send an email or I send a text. That's not what I'm talking about. I said properly. And the proper way to thank for a referral so that it has some level of impact is a handwritten thank you note. It is always will be that. It won't be anything else. Maybe skywriting. I don't know. Right. But other than that, it's the handwritten thank you note, right? Because a handwritten thank you note tells people multiple things, but the most important thing it tells people is they're worthy of your time.
Yep.
Because a handwritten thank you note takes more time than an email or a text. Yep. You can't really do a handwritten thank you note on the go, right? You've got to have the envelope and the stamp. You got to get it in the mail. You got to sit down. You got to write it. So it tells them you're valuable of their time. And that is golden in today's age because nobody's valuable when it comes to our time because we're all so time starved, right? So when you think about it, you have to thank for every referral received because why should I send you more referrals if you can't properly thank me for the one I just sent you? So that just becomes a process we do every time we receive a referral and we make sure we get that thank you card in the mail as soon as possible. I always tell folks in my program, 24 to 48 hours, but please just within the week, get it in the mail so that they have a chance to be reminded that, oh, that's right. I sent them a referral and look how nice this is that I got a thank you note. And that just is that's just a good way to do business.
It's so overlooked. And I think a lot of the problem is we're so busy. There's so many distractions and people, we just want to check the box. We all know we need to thank the referring party, but right. We do it through a text or we do it through some impersonable way. But folks, the way I've always looked at this is put yourself in the other's shoes and let's flip this because you guys have to get this point. This is extremely, what she just told you will make you more money, but you have to understand it. Now let me switch gears a little bit and paint the picture for you so that you can see how big of a dick you are when you're not sending the thank you card. And real quick, we all have financial planners, right? Stacey, you have financial planner, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, yes, we've all invested with financial planners. Like, let's admit it, talking about 401ks and numbers, it's like, it makes me sick, right? But we know we need to invest. Now, what's funny is that I have yet to meet a financial planner who continues to court me, take me out to dinner, call me, thank me the minute I invest my money with him. They go gone.
Oh, that's bad.
They're out. And now I'm just like, that dude's a dick. Now, when somebody refers you business, they just handed you like a $5,000 to $10,000 to maybe even $20,000 check. You have to thank that referral source. I'd even send them a gift, but handwritten note at the very, very bare minimum. But that's a very, very important tip. If you could almost guarantee, would you agree with this? You could guarantee that's the last referral from that person if you don't acknowledge it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there have been people that I have referred in the past that I never heard from. And I was like, I don't even, but here's the thing. Yes, on some level, it's because you're kind of seen as a jerk, right? Like, oh, you didn't thank me for that referral. But the other piece that we're thinking about that makes you a jerk as well is that we have no idea if you took good care of the person we just sent to you, and we are not going to put our reputation on the line for you again in the future, not knowing what happens.
No,
like, we're just not going to do it.
This happens in the real estate space. So, like, I've been out of Chicago for about a year, 14 months now, San Diego, so I'm no longer selling. But one of the last, actually, it was the last two deals I did before I left, I referred a contractor, right? Never again, ever again will I refer a contractor, because you end up literally doing the job with the clients, because the contractors always mess it up for whatever reason. The clients are never happy, and it makes you look bad. It really does. It becomes your problem. And folks, you have to have a good level of service. Like, if your food sucks, no one's going to come back to eat at your restaurant, or are they going to tell anyone else about it to come eat out of your kitchen? So you have to understand that everything you do is a reflection of your brand, including the people that refer to you. Stacey, let's hit step three.
All right. So step three is now that we have a process, now that we know who our referral sources are and or who we want to be our referral sources, and we have this process in place to thank for every referral received, we need to make sure that we are doing outreach, or what I call touch points, to our referral sources in an ongoing way. Like, think about this as a one-year kind of plan, right? In a way so that we are very gently staying memorable and meaningful, being top of mind and focused on them with our outreach, so that we can start building the habit of generating referrals in between the thank you cards that they happen to be receiving. And there's lots of different things that you can do as part of this outreach and as part of your touch points. And your budget dictates what it looks like. And it doesn't all have to be gifts, and it doesn't all have to be one-on-one coffees. There's lots of different things that you can do that'll keep you memorable and meaningful. But what you're doing is not about you. It's not what's easy for you. It's not what's convenient for you. It's not what you feel like doing. It is, at the end of the day, what your referral source needs from you. So most of the time, what your referral sources need is to know that you just remember them, that you care about them, that you're thankful for them, and that you acknowledge them. It truly actually is that simple. But what I find with folks is that we actually have to build what we're going to do in that outreach over a 12-month plan, because we have to know what we're going to do so we have a better chance of actually doing it, right? Because the thought that counts actually doesn't count at all. So you really have to make sure that you have these outreach, these touch points that you're doing. And so here's an example I'll give so people can kind of understand what I mean by that. When you think about a touch point, you need to know who your referral sources are. So when I was a business and productivity coach, 80% of the clients that I worked with were small business owners or solopreneurs, and they were parents. So they had that dual kind of role in their life. Now, granted, I definitely had clients and referral sources that weren't parents. But for the most part, my clients were majority business owners who were also parents, which means that my referral sources, because a lot of them came from clients, reflected that. So my top referral sources, when I looked at them, what am I going to do to be memorable and meaningful and stay top of mind and show them that I care, right? I always recognize Mother's Day and Father's Day, because I know my referral sources, for the majority of them, are working parents. Of course, if they're not parents, I did something else for them. And I'm going to use an example as a gift, but please don't get stuck on the whole gift idea, because it doesn't have to be a gift. It's just a great example for me to talk about in this format. And so for Mother's Day and Father's Day, right, particularly for Mother's Day, what I sent to my top referral sources was a Wonder Woman water bottle. And this was even before the movie came out, but, you know, that's just an iconic brand people like to be associated with. So I sent a Wonder Woman water bottle out, and on the card it said, "Never forget, you are a hero. Happy Mother's Day, Stacy."
That's awesome.
When they removed that card, there was nothing on that water bottle that reminded them of me. Except, Mike, do you actually think they forgot who gave them that water bottle? No. Nope. They weren't going to forget. So because it was memorable, it was meaningful, it basically said to them, I see you. Like, I know what you do. You're a mom and you're working hard and I respect that. Now, I did not do Superman water bottles for the guys on Father's Day because my husband told me that was a stupid idea. And the guys wouldn't drink out of them. So they got Yetis instead.
Probably not.
Yeah. So they got Yetis instead and that was great, right? It actually became an expectation. My referral sources that are guys that are also fathers, like every Father's Day, they're like, oh, what kind of Yeti am I getting this year? Kind of became the thing. But the truth is my referral sources received that water bottle from me and they knew in that moment that I just saw them in a way and I was just caring about them in a way that most people don't.
Yep.
And my logo was never on that water bottle. And that is super key because it has to be about them. And my logo is about me. So everything we do is about them. It's memorable and it's meaningful. And it keeps us top of mind.
So you're saying you don't brand the gifts?
No.
You're saying
it's not a gift. If you brand it, it's not a gift. It's a promotional item.
That's right. It's interesting. Yeah. I didn't think about it from that point of view, but I think I agree with it.
And the important thing to notice is your touch points that you're going to do with that 12-month plan that you're going to build out for step three, it isn't all gifts. But I do use that example because I think it's easy for people to kind of visualize what it looks like.
So let's go through. So we did an event last year. I attended an event, Lab Coat Agents, last spring in San Diego Market in Coronado. And there was an agent there. She's great at what she does. I think, forgive me if I butcher her name, but I think it's Kimberly Gettle. She's in the Panhandle, Florida. And what she, you know, she's on stage speaking. There's probably about 200-300 people in the room. And she's like, I got 175 closed transactions this year. And she did it all through what she calls 75 brand ambassadors. And, you know, she knows that every one of these strategic relationships, if you will, had the ability to refer her not just one, but like 2 to 5 people over the course of the year. And literally that fuels her entire team, just these 75 people. So folks, it's not always about like the quantity of people as much as about the quality of them. But part of it, what she was talking about, is that she has a touch system, right? So, you know, they got so many gadgets or whatever per year, but right, they're thoughtful gifts. So what is the recommended, for someone that is a referral source, what is the recommended amount of touches that you stay in touch with them? And then, folks, we're not talking about physically freaking touching them, right? We're talking about like how many times you have to do something to make sure they know that you're still alive and that you're thinking of them.
Yeah. So I always tell folks when we're building out that 12-month plan, we are not doing something 12 times. So I tell folks that you're going to aim for 4 to 8 quality, memorable, and meaningful touch points in a year. Most people land somewhere between 6 and 8. And it's what you do that matters how many things you're doing. So I always tell folks, if you're going to have a third party send a card on your behalf that you're not going to sign, you could do 1,000 of them in 1 year, and it's still not going to have the impact that you're looking for. I'm not saying don't use services like that. I'm saying don't make them part of your referral plan. Make them part of maybe your prospecting plan or your client appreciation plan.
They're talking about like templated type, where it's really not your ink, folks. It just looks like it's blue ink written down on a nice little like Hallmark looking card.
It's not you.
It's people know. And do you think that, you know, I'm curious to get your opinion on this, because this is your expertise, but do consumers know it's not you?
So I think it's interesting. I think that there are a lot of, I actually talk about this in my book. I have a whole chapter on tools will not save your referrals, but like, I think that it's interesting. The technology has gotten a lot better in terms of like, it's either you're paying somebody else to handwrite it for you, or that the machine makes it look like it's more handwritten. I think sometimes it does trick the consumer. I sometimes think because it's just such new technology that's coming out. But the thing that people have to realize is that a lot of times when you're paying for that to be done for you, if you're not paying top dollar to that to be done, there is some level of branding from that third party company that's going to end up on either the envelope or the card itself. And it's at that moment the consumer gets smart and realizes, wait a minute, this may look real, but it's not. I just think you're better off with your referral sources. I just think you're better off taking the time to handwrite the things that need to be handwritten. Now, not everything's going to be handwritten. If you throw an event for your referral sources, right, that could be a printed invitation. Right. But the things that are supposed to be handwritten should be handwritten.
And you're saying 4 to 6 touches a year, meaningful.
Four to eight is typically the sweet spot. But again, it depends on what you're doing. If you throw a massive event, that may be the only thing you do for that quarter. I don't mean massive in terms of like thousands of people. I just mean when you throw a bigger event, it may be the only thing you need to do for that quarter for people to remember you. And here's the thing. They don't necessarily have to come to remember you too.
I say that all the time. Like so many agents were like, throw the client event, show your appreciation. Folks, just throwing the event is the marketing excuse. You have to tell them five times to come to the event before they don't show up. And it doesn't matter. They still acknowledge that you freaking exist. That's the whole freaking point. Step four.
Okay. So step four. So if you think about step three as that 12 month plan you're going to build with the touch points, that's what I call the meat and potatoes, right? Within the program we refer to as this is the meat and potatoes. This is what we're doing. But step four is the secret sauce that makes the meat and potatoes actually taste good. And so it's really important for us to remember that, yes, we want to do these touch points, memorable, meaningful, have impact, totally focus on the referral source, totally focus on top of mind. But step four is we need to plant the right referral seed language so that what we're doing with all those touch points, not every single one, because there's got to be a balance, but what we're doing with those touch points is kind of planting the seed and building the habit and moving ourselves into the, like, the subconsciousness of them to be thinking about us from a referral perspective. When someone truly feels cared for, they do want to figure out how to care for you back. And so if we're weaving in language about how we love their support and their referrals and things like that, then they'll start thinking about us over time. Nothing happens with one touch point, but they'll start thinking about us over time as the person that they can refer to. And then once they do it multiple times, then we really just try to continue to strengthen that habit. So step four is understanding what are referral seeds, like what are the things that we say, and then when do we say them? I mean, you can plant referral seeds in networking events and casual conversations about business. You can plant seeds when you're meeting with a prospect for the first time. Every touch point you do within your 12-month referral generating plan, you can do it at events. I mean, there's so many different places to plant referral seeds where it feels natural and genuine and not like it's forced.
This is where I think the skill set comes in, no doubt, right? And I'm sure this is probably the biggest thing that your students get from you is just like literally, because folks, she's spot on with this. Funny, I say this story often to like people that we onboard and come on new that we're doing branding with and whatnot. And people always, Mike, how'd you get started? I go, I got started in the nightclubs. I was 22 years old and we used to stay out till 5 o'clock in the morning. And I used to carry a yellow pad of paper in my back pocket. And on the yellow pad of paper, what I used to do is I knew everyone lived somewhere. So as everyone would be blacked out, drunk, I would write down their email addresses and phone numbers because everyone's giving your info at 4 o'clock in the morning, right? So what did I do is I knew that 1 in 10, I knew 10 to 15% of the people I'd meet were moving. I knew all of them had a referral for me, but it was all about me just building a larger audience and staying in touch with them. And the conversations that you have, there are subliminal ways to drop those in, especially in the real estate business. And for me, you have to become a professional storyteller. My one client, they were just referred to me by over that. Like you just drop those subtle hints like all day, every day. And people, we call it, referral programming. You got to program your database. What a lot of us don't realize is that we're not that cool. People don't think about us 24/7, right? As much as we'd like to, we're not that cool. You know, everyone's like, they know I'm a realtor. No, they don't. Trust me. That's why they just use another agent to buy a house without you. So these subliminal hints are like, it goes on your email signature. It's on your any marketing you have. It's the end of, it's your final say all. And always thank you for your referrals. And as always, think just subliminal things. I mean,
yeah, but it's interesting though. I will tell you, I think you have to be careful to not oversaturate that messaging because then people stop hearing it. So I actually tell people not to put the thank you for your referrals or my business grows by your referrals or the greatest compliment you can give me is your referrals in your email signatures because I think those things are no longer paid attention to, right? I think that language first came out, it was new and it worked and now it doesn't. It's same thing like consider the environment before you print this email. Like we don't notice those things anymore. But to your point, yes, if I'm having a casual, if I walk up to you at a networking event and we're having a casual conversation and I say, hey, Mike, how's business? The typical agent, if you were the typical agent, how would they respond back to me?
Amazing. It's awesome. How many offers saw this week? Zero. Zero. Last 6 months, -4.
So they're not answering those questions, right? And they're praying that you don't ask them. But when you said, how's business? Their response is, it's great. It's awesome. Right? That's our response to it. Whether we're like, puffing ourselves up and saying, if we say it enough times, it will be awesome, or it truly is awesome. But what we're missing is an easy opportunity to plant a seed. And what I would prefer agents say, and anyone out there that's in business to say when that question is posed to you is don't miss an opportunity to subtly plant a seed. And that seed that you could just plant as easy as when someone says, hey, Stacey, how's business? My response can still be, thanks for asking. It is awesome. I just brought on 3 new clients last week from referrals and I'm having so much fun taking care of the people, right, who are referred to me. or something to that effect. Just talking about the last three clients came on by referral, or the two houses I just sold, right? I just sold, they were referred to me and they were awesome people that I got to get to know, or whatever it is. Like, you can just drip this stuff in. Now, I think it works better when we have an audience that is hearing from us, right, on an ongoing basis. So I would say that's as our referral sources, as part of this referral plan, that's why we weave in the language, right? But you can also do it on people that you're just trying to see, what if I could turn you into a referral source, and dripping in that language as well. And I think that's really important. I think people overlook. I mean, inside the program, we have like dozens and dozens of scripts that we talk about. And you're right. I think a lot of people, all the steps conceptually they get, like, I mean, a lot of people come to the program because like, just give me the roadmap. But it is when we get to the language piece that people get tripped up. And I have a Facebook group just for my paid students. And the number one questions I receive on a monthly basis are, what do you think of this language? What do you think about this language? I was thinking about saying this. And so most of the continual like access to me that people are looking for is the language piece. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just the piece because people don't want to get it wrong. Yep. Like, they just want to get it right, and they want to make sure they have a process.
One of my favorite emails to write, we do a lot of like video email, and I like Valentine's Day email because the subject line was always, I love you. And it was just, you know, it always got like a 60%+ open rate. And once I had their attention, it was just like, I don't know if you know this, but I love you because all of my business is based off referrals. And it's a funny way to literally ask for it without asking for it in a way, but that actually right. did not work. Let's go ahead. Step five.
Yep. So step five, most people would tell you it sounds like the boringest step of all, but it really, really is important. And it's your ability to automate and measure your success. So we got to track our results, and we have to automate what we can so we can actually get these things done. So I tell everybody, your referral source needs an experience, and they don't really need to know when it starts. And they kind of need to know that they're in this experience and it never really ends. And it has a lot to do with that Maya Angelou quote that says, I won't always remember what you said or what you did, but people always remember how you made them feel. Yep. And so when we deliver on these touch points that are memorable and meaningful and top of mind and all about them, our referral sources, their feelings, their emotions are being impacted. And we do that consistently and ongoing year after year after year, right? At the end of the day, when they're like, as we move them through that, they have this great experience of what they think about us. But we are busy business owners. So whereas our referral sources need an experience, we need a process. We need a way to actually make these things happen, and we need a way to understand grouping our referral sources and what we're going to do for them and what our plan looks like. And when it comes time to send that Valentine's Day email or those Wonder Woman water bottles or that, you know, October party or whatever, we've got to have a plan in place to actually execute on those things. So step five, there's actually a whole module in the course about it. It's just automating what we can and recognizing how do we make this part of our workflow processes so we don't get to the end of the year and say, well, I had the best intentions to execute on my referral plan. I just didn't get around to it. That's not acceptable. So we want to make sure we're automating. I call it processitizing. No one's told me if that's a word or not. I just like saying it. So we processitize our plan into our business so that we actually execute on it. And then we track our results.
Makes a lot of sense. Stacy, any closing thoughts that you'd like to cover for real estate agents? Like, what should an agent be focused more if on referrals? I have my own spiel to give, but this floor is yours.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing. I always tell everybody, and I think this is true in the real estate world as well, that everybody deserves referrals. Every person listening or watching this right now, I want you to hear me when I say this, you deserve referrals. As long as you do great work and you take ownership of the mistakes you make and you do the best that you can do and you do great work and you build relationships with your clients and people in your network, you deserve referrals. But do not think for a minute you are owed them. So you have to be willing to do work for them. This is not a Band-Aid or a silver bullet. What I'm handing you is a long-term strategy that will help your business grow. Because remember, someone referred to you has a greater likelihood of becoming a referral source themselves. So your business can literally over time just grow into clients who were referred who are now referral sources. And so you have to keep that in mind, and you have to be willing to do the work. Because there's work involved, because you're not owed them. You just happen to deserve them. So be willing to do the work to actually receive them. And then know where you're starting from. I know most of the real estate companies out there that we can associate with, I know most of them teach to ask. It's what the gurus teach, it's what the experts teach, it's what the articles teach, it's what the books teach, because that's all it's ever been, right? So if I know they teach to ask, but just be open to the idea that you don't have to ask and understand where you're starting from and what your referral generation, get really honest with yourself. about what your referral generation looks like. And don't confuse things that aren't referrals and call them referrals to make yourself feel better. A warm lead, a word of mouth buzz, an introduction, those are not referrals. Be very clear on what a referral is and just kind of know where you're starting from so you know where you want to go. And I have this great assessment. It's 9 questions on my website. People can take for free. It's called the Referral Ninja Quiz. It just helps you understand, are you a beginner? Are you in training? Are you a master? And if you're a beginner and in training, you just need to know the steps to get yourself to the master level. But you got to be willing to do the work and you got to know where you're starting from.
Yep. Good advice. Good advice. Folks, I'll leave my closing thoughts on this is listen to what Stacy says. I'm going to let Stacy give her website out again before we end this, but follow the numbers. All right. 63% of business last year came from referrals and repeat clients. And that doesn't happen when you hide yourself inside of a closet or if you decide to stop communicating with the very people that got you those first deals. So be everywhere all the time. Stay in front of those referral sources. And most importantly, recognize who they are. It's the people that you know. Quite too often, everyone's chasing a bunch of leads instead of chasing a bunch of relationships and solidifying the ones they already have. And that is honestly the make it or break it piece in the real estate business, at least in my career. And look around your office and realize that the top producers aren't probably the sharpest tools in the shed, but they are definitely great networkers. They're probably a great conversationalist and they probably are great at relationship building. So that's the one thing I see every top producer have in common. Stacy, please go ahead and give our listeners another way on how they can reach you. She's got a cool quiz on her site you guys can go ahead and take, but go right ahead, Stacy.
Yep. So it's StacyBrownRandall.com. And remember, Stacy is spelled with an E, StacyBrownRandall.com. And if you go to /quiz, it'll take you direct to that quiz. You'll be able to answer those 9 questions. But I've got other great resources. I've got a podcast, Roadmap to Grow Your Business. I definitely have articles on the site. You can learn more about, you know, the lies we believe about referrals and the 5 steps and other information. And I've got a 7-day challenge. If you're really ready, you want something free, but it's a little bit more, a little intensive with some work. It's a 7-day challenge. I'll send you an email every day for 7 days, about 2-3 minutes, asking you to take some action to build a foundation with referrals. And so there's lots of free resources on my website at StacyBrownRandall.com.
There she is, ladies and gentlemen, Stacy Brown Randall. Thank you so much for your insight. And thank you guys for listening to another episode of the Real Estate Marketing Dude podcast. You guys know where to find me. It's very easy. Do you want me to build your brand? Do you want to be everywhere all the time? Do you want to get on camera and do some video stuff? Folks, this isn't rocket science. This is pretty simple, but creating media around your brand is the future of real estate. And all we're trying to do is not generate leads. We're trying to generate the attention of our audiences. In this case, your audience, your database. Stacy, thank you very much. It was a pleasure having you on the show. And thank you guys for listening. We'll be back for another episode next week of the Real Estate Marketing Dude podcast.
Thanks.
See you guys later.
Today's episode may be over, but we have plenty more to keep you busy. To get your complete blueprint for building out a real marketing plan for your real estate business, head over to realestatemarketingdude.com and see if you have what it takes to really become more than just a typical agent. Are you the next real estate marketing dude? Find out here next time on Real Estate Marketing Dude.